No, since the mic is with me, I will just share a little bit. I think there's a lot of things that I enjoyed, but one thing that really impressed me the most is regarding the lampstand. And I think, you know, it's a shining lampstand. And I'm reminded that, you know, I grew up in India. And in India, like, there's a lot of power outage. So when I was growing up, we used to have this brass lamp and you had to put oil and then you have to put a linen thread and you light it. And I use that light for studying till the power comes back. And to keep this light bright, it's very important that you have to cut away the burn part. It's a very important part. And during this time of the conference, when the brother was sharing regarding that matter too, to trim away those burn parts, you know, I feel like there are so many things that is burnt in me. So in the coming days, when we go back, it's so important to trim away all those burn parts so that I can also shine brightly.
Praise the Lord. I just want to read a verse which is a summary of my experience. In Hebrews chapter 4, I read from verse 11. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight. But all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. I realize that in the seven epistles to all the churches, a lot of things stand out. But one of them is, I know your works. In each one of them, this line kept on coming up. I know your works. I know your works. And so this verse, I remembered it and I said, the one that we have to deal with is the one to whom everything is open. Everything is naked to him. And for me, it is such an encouragement that the Lord, who is working in the midst of the churches, he knows everything. So I can always confide in him. I can always open to him. Whether I am up or down, I can come to this one who knows everything. Amen. Amen.
Looks like it's going this way.
Praise the Lord. Okay. Wow. Yeah, just like OC read one verse to summary his experience and his takeaways, I want to read Lamentation chapter 3, 22. Yeah, I'm going to read it to you. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. So, I was very encouraged during this conference, because Lord allows me to touch what is in his heart and what is his desire toward us to be perfected and to be one's faithful servants and a faithful priesthood. And it is really amazing and very kind of eye-opening for me that many are called, a few are chosen, but faithful ones are much less than that. So to be faithful, we need much grace and compassion from the Lord. I realize that I have to humble myself and ask Him to grant me much mercy and grace, much compassion. But at the same time, it is really amazing that He wants to use us and He wants to make a great harmony with us. His great mercy and compassion and our faithfulness, our diligence is working together. Such a joy and harmony. Yeah. So I'm really grateful that He left these remnants, and He will preserve the remnants until He come. And I want to say, may we all to be such faithful ones, eagerly wait for Him, and press on as a priesthood, because we have such a great high priest who walking in the midst of the golden lampstands. Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Well, since I have the microphone here, there's a second one in case anyone else wants it. The Lord really, not really, but the Lord spoke to me that, especially concerning, am I giving the Lord my best love? I'm reminded again that I've heard so many messages and been in the church life my whole life, and yet there's still a danger that I may lose my first love. So I wrote down these two questions for myself that I want to ask myself daily. Am I giving the Lord my best love? And does He have the preeminence in my life? And with this, I want to have this repenting heart before the Lord so that I would not lose my first love for the Lord. Because as it was shared, there is nothing more important in the churches than the love for Christ. Right? He is this one walking in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. And we ought to truly give Him our best love because of all that He has done for us. And not just because of that, but simply we have His life in us. It's so normal for that eternal life in us that has been put into our spirit to love this one who has given it to us and worked out such a wonderful salvation. So I really pray that in the coming months, and especially before the Lord soon return, that I and all the saints would have this best love for Christ. Amen. And we would not take any steps downward, but we would ascend in our experience with Him. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, I'm so encouraged with this conference, because before coming here, I was asking, Lord, I long to hear what You have to speak. And the Lord is so faithful because He has spoken. Now it is time to be obedient. These verses kept resonating throughout this conference for me. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, because the time is near. Yeah, I'm so grateful to the Lord that even though it has only been recent times, but He has been merciful to show me the church, show me the priesthood. many things the Lord spoke for me, but couple of things that stands out for now is one, the brother had shared there were like four visions in the book of Revelation, but how did John see it? Every time it was because he was in the spirit. And for me also, like the brother shared earlier during this conference, if we love the Lord, we will hear what the Lord is speaking to us. And I also long to hear what the Lord is speaking, especially in these last days, not to be caught off guard, you know, just following some religious practices or anything, but truly long when I wake up in the spirit, to walk through the day in the spirit, live in the spirit, even sleeping time be in the spirit. Because to have dreams and visions and know what the Lord is speaking to the churches, so that we can truly build one another up, especially to put the enemy to shame. I'm also really impressed with the seven stars that was brought up over and over again of the role of a brother in the church, truly to be in Christ. Because it is very much possible that as a brother, it's a very important role that we play in the church, to be those who are capable of washing each other's feet, but also at the same time having a zeal for the Lord's house, not to allow anything of the enemy to come into the house. So the role is so important that my eyes have been opened to be in the spirit, to serve one another in the spirit. Truly to come back to the Lord and repent that because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, have need of nothing. Maybe it may not be very obvious, but there are many, many hidden parts that say that I am rich. I want to come back to the Lord and repent. Where I am wretched, miserable, even in my hidden condition, maybe I don't even know it. But Lord, I want you to bring it to the surface so that I can come to you and ask for this gold. Because you alone are gold, to have more of Christ and to walk in his ways. Also during this conference, during one of the offerings, a brother had shared, according to the measure of faith that he has, the Lord really spoke to me as well. I don't have anything. I don't have a lot of experiences. I have the word of God. I have the brothers and sisters for fellowship. So many times I don't want to run ahead of the Lord, but truly to serve in the measure of faith I have and to serve accordingly. Praise the Lord for all this.
Now, the speaking. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. The speaking of the Lord to the church in Sardis is really also the message shared is really so serious. If you are dead, you are dead. No hope anymore. Yeah, but in the verse 1, who has the seven spirit of God, God search everything. God knows our condition. This is really a warning for me that if we do a lot of things, but we might be dead. No life. Therefore, it is so serious. Also, but the Lord still loved us. He gave us a chance. Verse 3, remember, therefore, how you have received and heard, hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief. And you will not know what hour I will come upon you. Actually, he mentioned we will miss the rapture. And death is so serious and so hopeless, but the Lord gave us a way to do it. These days, we heard so many things. We received so many things. I really want to give myself to the Lord. And hold fast what I heard and what I received and be faithful servant to the Lord and serve in his house. I don't want to miss the chance to be the first fruit. Yes, let us encourage one another, remind one another, as also in Second Timothy chapter 1 says, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus, that good things which was committed to you keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. If we go keep everything by our own strength, it is impossible. But we have to rely on this Holy Spirit which dwells in us. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Yeah, praise the Lord for his speaking to us in these days. One verse that also really stuck with me is, I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. And especially the word, I know your works, and that the Lord is the one, he as the high priest, is the one who really knows my works, right? Others might not see it, right? Others might just see outwardly, but the Lord knows my works, right? What of what quality they are of. And I realize I have to learn to come to the great high priest all the time and to be exposed, right? What nature my works are, right? It's so easy to look at the other churches in Revelation, right, and say, oh, thank goodness I'm not like Sardis, or I'm not like Pergamos, I'm not that bad, right? But, right, if we do that, then we are shutting out the Lord, right? And he is outside. Like in verse 20, it says, I stand at the door and knock. And I don't want to do that. I want the Lord to shine in me, in myself, to see what is my condition, right? Which part of me is like Sardis or like Pergamos? Or like Ephesus, right? That today he can really heal me. And praise the Lord, I want to be counseled by him, right? And even rebuked and chastened whenever necessary, right? That we can all make it, right? As we can all be like the church in Philadelphia. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Father. It's a good reminder from the Lord that I experienced today, that it's good for us to see, and it's good for the Lord to sanctify our eyes, to see our condition. Yeah. I mean, it has been shared in the meeting that people who are in darkness not really know that they are in darkness. But many of us has experienced that when we preach the gospel to those who are in darkness, many knows that they are in darkness but willing to remain in darkness. I do pray to the Lord that, oh Lord, I don't want to be in darkness. I do want him to shine his light on me so I can see what is living in my heart, and I do pray that he will uproot it. Praise the Father.
Yeah, I thank the Lord for a very special verse that's been in my heart lately. It's on? Yeah. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Right? There's been many talks that the Lord is coming back very soon, and we know that it's very soon. And there's a big part of me that's scared because, for many reasons. The biggest reason is because I'm so young, when I look at all the saints, and there are so many that are here that have so much experience and so much right? So many battle scars, I guess you can say, when dealing with the Lord. And for me, today is my spiritual fifth birthday. So that, I was baptized 5 years ago today. Initially and outwardly, I see that I feel like I have so much ground to pick up. Like I'm not worthy compared to all of the other brothers because I'm just so young, and sisters, right? So many who are so strong in the faith. But the Lord reminded me through this conference that He's not just speaking to the churches generally, but He's speaking individually to me. He's speaking to all the members of the church. And that means that I have the same opportunity as all of the members of the church here in Fountain Valley, as all the churches around the world that are here in the conference. And this verse was so special to me because the Lord is encouraging me to increase in my faith and to trust in Him that He is, right? Lord, my mindset sometimes I tell myself and I tell the Lord, Lord, I don't think I can make it. And then He turns me back to this verse and He says that I am. Praise the Lord. He is. And that means to me that He is able to save me to the uttermost, even though I'm so young and there's in comparison to the other saints. But I also thank the Lord that He spoke to every single one of the churches to encourage them, both the churches that needed it and the churches that were strong in pressing on towards the goal. And this was very special to me because it was an encouragement, even though we've been now, I think this is my third conference, listening to the book of Revelation chapters 1-3. The Lord was trying to save me from being like the church in Laodicea, from knowing it so much. But the Lord really spoke to me and He exposed in each and every single one of the churches one aspect of me that tends to be like these churches. And so I thank the Lord for His exposing work, but also for showing me that by faith He is able to save me to the uttermost. And not only that, for every single one of the churches He offers a reward to him who overcomes. He will be a pillar in the temple of my God and shall go out no more, right? Every single one of them has a reward for him, or every single one of the churches the Lord is giving them a reward. And just like the verse says, right, but without faith, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So I thank the Lord for such a wonderful conference and showing me that He's ready to reward me and to reward the rest of the saints here if we are diligent to seek Him. So I say to you, Lord, that I want to seek you more and more until you come back.
I wanted to share 3 points that I really enjoyed in the conference. I'll try to make it brief, but yeah, throughout the conference, this verse in Luke 12:32 has been on my mind. It says, "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And while we were reading Revelations 1-3, I really see how much the Father, the Lord, really wants to give us the kingdom. When I taught the children's meeting, we focused on the phrase, "And having turned, I saw." And I was sharing with the little ones how much the Father wants to share so many things with us. But we have to be able to stop and listen and ask Him, "What is your message for me?" And He keeps repeating this in Revelations to the churches, where He keeps saying, "He who has an ear, let him hear." And I was also very touched with some of the verses where He wants to give us the hidden manna. He wants to give us a new name. He wants to share His throne with us to sit on. He wants to share His Father's name to write it on us, and the new Jerusalem, and even His own name. So there's so many things He wants to share with us, but we just need to be those who are willing to stop whatever we are so busy with to listen to what He wants to say and what He wants to reveal. Amen. So that's one point I really enjoyed. And then the other one is, I didn't really understand this part about blotting out His name from the book of life until today. And it reminded me of my experience at my workplace where everybody got an invite to our holiday party except me. And then I was not even planning to go to the holiday party because it's the Christmas thing, the Christmas event. But to know that everyone received it except me felt so weird. And later on, I found out it was because I was registered as a remote worker, like a fully remote worker. So they thought that they'll not give allowances for people who are traveling from other parts. So you pay for your own fare and all that stuff. So eventually I was invited. But I just remember the feeling of getting blotted out from something, right? And I was thinking, I felt odd for an event that I didn't even intend to attend in the first place. How much more would I feel if my name was blotted out from the Book of Life? And you look around and you see everybody's been invited but me. And that was like, oh Lord, I don't want to be blotted out from your Book of Life. So yeah, those two things struck out to me during the conference. And the third thing is I just really feel so thankful to the Lord, so humbled throughout the whole conference to see how much the Lord has opened the way for us to make it to all the meetings, to the conference. Today, I just bumped into David, and I was like, David, can you imagine that just a week ago, everybody was so sick, and now we cannot even hear anybody coughing, or, you know, everyone's just so healthy. You don't know anyone who is sick. And so we were just praising the Lord how he has done such a mighty thing. And I also really thank the Lord because I see for my family, Johanna, I've never seen her this way, but the other day she had breakfast with David, Jean, and Catherine. The other day she had breakfast with just Jean. And, you know, to see her just growing and really wanting to spend that time with the saints really encourages me. And then today I was having a brief conversation with David, and he said, I'll miss the conference. I don't know why it's so short. And then I said, it's one of the longest ones. And I know that time flies by, but it's actually one of the longest ones. And I said, what will you miss? And he said, the ping pong. I said, really? So are you happy there's no more children's meeting tomorrow? And then he said, actually, I'll also miss the children's meeting. I like it. So I'm so thankful how much the Lord is also gaining all the children, and how in the church life, everyone is like a family, and you can just leave and entrust your children, and they will continue to grow with the saints' love. So I'm just so thankful for everything that the Lord has arranged, and it's very humbling.
The first day I was very touched by the Revelation chapter 1, 2, and 3. The last verse of the verse 1. And he sent and signified by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ. To all that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of his prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is here, near. So we have to practice our voice in the wilderness now and to blow the trumpet. So we have seen a lot during these 5 days of conference. And I think we all are ready to go out to share and be the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was really very touched by this word. And I say, I have read this word for many times, but this time the Lord really spoke to me and said, blessed is he who reads. So the Lord really reminded me that I have to keep reading it over and over again, because if I don't read, how can I share the prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I really thank the Lord for this time that to remind me all these, the seven churches, that even though there are so much to remember, but we have to go back and read it over and over again. And I really praise the Lord for giving. Recently, I've been very bold to share the gospel and to share the words of the Lord. And I hope we all can go out and be the voice of the wilderness. Amen.
Something that really struck out to me during this conference is that if we want to build a golden shining lampstand, we have to remove any impurities, so we can't have any compromises. And I thought about this, and I didn't have to think long to realize that I take many compromises in my life. And knowing if we want to compromise or not is also a test, and I have to learn to make the right decisions, and if I want to be perfected. And so, like, even if it's a small stain, it dirties the whole shirt. And also, I asked myself if the Lord is really my first love, and I realized if he is my first love, I would not make these compromises and other things in my life. So I really need the oil replenished in me every day.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, so yes, yeah, so Sarah shared with me this thing. It's about how the Lord provides us with everything we need. Right, so in the Church of Laodicea, they said, the Lord said that they're poor, naked, and what was it again? Blind. That's right. So then the solution to their poverty is to buy gold refined in the fire, which is God's nature, so I can be more like God. And then the solution to the nakedness is to get the white garments, and then the solution to the blindness is the eye self. So the Lord always helps us with our needs.
Do you know, I'm just going to stand here because I feel like nobody can see me all the way from there. Do you know, the Lord works in very mysterious ways, I would say. And I'm just going to give this testimony because, actually, one of two things. The first one is the Lord works in very mysterious ways. When I saw the microphone being passed this way, I was like, sooner or later it's going to come to me. So let me just put my head down. Then Chu-Chan was looking at me, and I put my head down. I don't want you to see me. Then the microphone passed around. I was like, okay, I'm safe. And I was like, Lord, if you do want me to say something, let the microphone come to me. Like, it literally came this way. So, yes. So the second thing is what I really enjoyed in this conference. Well, growing up in the meeting hall, especially at my age, or should I say my generation, it's either you're the youngest or you're the oldest. As you can tell, I'm one of the oldest among all these people. And when I was growing up, my last time I was here, I was one of the youngest. So during that time, I used to think, I want to get old so fast so I can, you know, be one of the first fruits. That was what I was thinking. And I was like, then I started to think deeper because, like BJ said, there's a lot of people here, especially what John shared. John said from grade 9. And I don't know, but I'm just assuming John feels like he's not yet perfected, and he's had a lot of years. Now me, sorry. Now me, it comes with a form of, I would say, anxiousness that, Lord, John has had so much years. Sorry, John. How about me? You're coming very soon. And I used to always think about this. I used to always get anxious about this. I'm like, Lord, I want to get old. Lord, please make me older. That's why most people always hear, oh, you have a bad back, you're 42. You're so many things. But yeah, I used to think like that. I used to ask, Lord, make me older. But then the Lord now said, you're losing sight of the goal. The goal is not to get older in age. You're losing complete sight of it. On young people's meeting the other day, I asked a question to John, but everyone had to, we had to fellowship what we learned. And surprisingly, every single one of the young person answered my question before John did. Oh, my question was, I'm just going to share it. It goes, I'm paraphrasing because I have a very hazy memory, but it goes this way. We know the time is coming very soon. What advice will you give to us young people concerning the fact that we have, let's say, a year maximum before the Lord comes back? What advice would you give to us? Do we drop out of school? Do we stop doing what we're doing? Do we just focus fully on the Lord? And every single young person added something and was very, very beneficial. That's my second point. My third point is what I really took is, the thing is, am I compromising, like, I'm compromising on the Lord as my best love, because it's the little things that seep in that you think it's not a problem. Like, let's say you're working 40 hours a week, and then you're like, do you know what? Let me work more overtime. Then your work becomes your best love. Not even your, for those that are married, your wife or your husband. Then there's so many people that have your heart first before the Lord. So you give 60% of your heart to your work, 20% to your kids, 10% to your spouse. I don't know the percentage, sorry. Then the Lord gets the remainder. And that's really something. It's like, am I really letting my business, my job, my career get in the way of the Lord? And that was initially what I took from this. I'm very grateful to be here after 7 years. So praise the Lord.
7 years. I'm so thankful that I came to the conference. I like to read Malachi 3, verse 3. This is the summary of my experience. Malachi 3, verse 3. He says, he will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. From all the sharings in the conference, I realized that although the Lord condemned certain things in the churches, yet he provided a way of escape. I realize that his love for the church is that we all can make it. Even when they mentioned Sardis that is dead, yet the Lord gave them a way of escape. I really was so thankful that, Lord, however, whatever condition I am, there's always that way to come back to him. And one of the ways I learned is to humble myself before him. Tell him, Lord, I need you to show me my condition. I also would like to read a portion that made great impression on me. Revelation chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. It says, unto the angel, messenger of the church in Philadelphia, write, These things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it, for you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. When this, the brother shared this portion, it really, because I had read it earlier in the day, I was asking the Lord, what does it mean to have the key of David? And today I found out he has the key to all the treasures. He answered my, it's so quick, he answered my question. So now I know he has that key. And to think that he also has given us that key. And it's so wonderful that he also has set an open door to us for that treasure. I was really impressed that through him I have access to all the treasures of God, that I'm not in any way limited, only to have a heart to pursue him. I also remember praying to him. I said to the Lord, Lord, I need, there's a song we have that says, in dealing with the Lord as life, you need a proper heart. You know, a heart this way, that way. So I was trying to list out that heart to the Lord. He just stopped me. It's the heart he has that he gives to me. I don't know what, I can't list, I can't say, give me this, give me that. Just ask him, Lord, give me the proper heart. And indeed, this conference has shown me we can all make it. Another point that got to me was the word I know. The brother said, anytime you use that word, I know, it means you're bordering on pride. And it's true. Before someone says something, say, I know. It's okay, I've heard you, I know. But then the only knowing that I know that is correct is the one the Lord says, I know your works. His own knowing is the correct one. My own knowing is not correct. So, Lord, thank you so much. Thank you, and I've enjoyed all the saints. It's so wonderful that after 4 years, we can come back to see all the faces. Praise the Lord. Amen.
One thing. One thing that really stood out to me, it was actually part of someone's lesson notes from the children's meeting. And they wrote that the golden band around the priest, the great high priest's chest, is made out of gold. And gold is very expensive. So the love of God is not cheap. And I was so encouraged by Revelations verse 1 to 5, verse chapter 1, verse 5, which says, Revelations 1 verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And it's like he's given us a chance to live, and he's given us a chance to gain the kingdom. And there is nothing on this world that is worth that chance. So it's like, he is worthy of my first love, which sounds very conceited, but it's like, if I'm tired and I really want the comfort of my bed, he's worth more than that. To put him first of like not being rejected at work or by friends, he's really worth our first love. So, Lord, I want to love you more.
Yeah, I was reminded of how important it is to know the great high priest who walks in the midst of the golden lampstands. And not only to know him doctrinally, but really know him like John, to know him in the spirit. Because without the great high priest, we won't make it. I guarantee you, you won't make it. Because who's going to tell you your condition? Who's going to tell you that you are lost your first love? Right? Who's going to tell you that you are lukewarm? And who's going to ask you to repent and turn back to him. So I really appreciate the Lord really showing us to really learn to know the great high priest.
I'd like to share two things. One thing, I want to be a pillar of the God's temple, and then I want to be strong, and I want to be mature, and I wanted to know more, but yeah, about Revelation 3, actually those who have little strength, but yet have kept my word and have not denied my name, they ended up a pillar of the temple, so I changed my mind. And the other thing was, when I went here, I was so nervous about the cultural things. You know, in Korea, we have wet floor in the bathroom. So I thought to myself, I should be careful when I use the bathroom, not making it wet. So something like that. So I was very careful and should be careful about those things. So it made me some nervous. But today, while I was talking with the other saints, I felt like I was among all Koreans. Yeah, they were not anymore Americans or Indians or other, you know, nationality. Just they are all look familiar to me, so I feel like I'm in Korea. And then, we are the heavenly citizens. I have come to Mount Zion among all, every tongue, every nation, and, you know, yeah. So I was so thankful.
At first I said, if somebody shares this point, I'm not going to share. But since nobody shared, okay, I'll share. what really touched me is verse 11. Behold, I'm coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. I always thought that to hold fast what I have, I thought, you know, I have one talent. I will to bury it, you know, you know, like that servant, right? He had one talent and buried it under the ground, protect it so that no one can steal it. So I thought, you know, I will just do that with my talent. But then I heard this morning, right, to hold fast, we have to go on. That encouraged me, right, to really hold fast what I have. I have to go on, press on toward the goal. Forget the past, just press on the goal. Yeah, and I'm so thankful to the Lord that He pierced my heart in one of the meetings. The Lord exposed me that, yeah, I have been doing so many things out of duty and obligation and not because I love Him. So I just repented and I told the Lord, Lord, yeah, I want to exercise myself that when I do something, Lord, I'm doing this because I love you.
No, I just have to confirm what... Oh, sorry. Is it on? Okay. Just have to confirm what Juanita said. It's so easy to just fall into religious duty. Even bringing the offerings can become a duty. And it's good to ask the Father or to have ears to hear what the Father has testified after we give, after we bring Him an offering. And there's been several times where the Father... I had the sensation, what you've done is technically correct. You brought the right offering, you named it as such, and you brought out the different aspects, and it was not too long, etc. But where was the love for me? And in this conference, the Father really exposed that, that I have been doing dead works, and that I need to come back to the first and best love, and that the indication or a good indication thereof is how much time we spend with him in his word.
Okay. The Lord has spoken to me in a lot of things, both during the conference meetings and also outside of the conference meetings. I had also told the Lord before this conference, I know that we have gone through many conferences about Revelation chapters 1 through 3, but I want this time to really be new, and I want to see more of you. And I really have to praise him because, of course, there are some familiar things if you're reading the same verses, but the Lord was really able to make all things new. And I think this was the first time where we really focused on the priesthood in all of the different churches. And that's something that I never really saw before. And especially even being in the priesthood since 2014, to really see this in all of the different churches and how there are different aspects of how we should be performing our duties as priests. And I shared some of this in the young people's meeting also, but what Elisa was talking about with both the first love and the matter of compromising, I also have had the experience of doing a lot of things out of obligation from the church. Growing up in the church life, there are a lot of things that you hear that we know we should do, or we should be doing this, we should be doing that, but is it really out of love for the Lord? And one thing that I was always trying to put my finger on in terms of why in the conference, besides the fact that we're with all of the saints, is it always much easier to feel the love of, or for me to love the Lord. And it was brought up in that meeting that in order for our love for the Lord to remain in the first place, we have to be eating of him and spending the time with him. And of course, during the conferences, I'm always very diligent to eat the word, of course, in the morning together with all of the saints that we're living with, but not necessarily always as diligent in the day-to-day living. And that's one thing that the Lord was reminding me that I need to do every day until he comes, to make sure that that first love stays, or that my love for him stays in the first place in my heart. And also the matter of not compromising. This conference was the first one. I mean, I guess I'm older than Elisa, so I wasn't like the youngest one at the last one, but I was always one of the younger young people. And this time I was like the oldest one until 30. I mean, the oldest one under 30, basically. So it was a very different experience because pretty much all the young people were younger than me. And I have not had too much experience, like with the mountain trips in the past, where I'm had a chance to really shepherd young people or even know what to do with them. And I was really asking the Lord, what is it that I'm supposed to do? There's so many young people here this time, and I really have a burden for them, but I don't know what to do. And yeah, the Lord really put this matter on my heart, and I had to really cry out before him, and he really showed me that there's nothing that I can do out of myself. It really, I mean, only he can draw all of the young people. There's nothing that I can do or say. It has to be him, and that I really have to be faithful to pray and to be there for the rest of the young people. And the Lord really, through fellowship with Sister Nena and through all the other saints too that I spoke with about this, was really able to encourage me in this matter too. And of course, I know not fully trained in that matter yet, and I still have a lot to learn in terms of serving with the young people. But the Lord was really able to use this conference as a good training ground for that. And going back to the matter of not compromising, when that meeting was shared, I was just thinking, if I'm like one of the oldest ones of the young people, I need to also be an example to them. So what is there, like, besides the outward things that I do, what is there left in me that I'm still compromising on? Because I don't want to set a bad example for the rest of the young people. And I really have to praise the Lord for exposing this to me, that I could really consider it before him during this time. And I really have to praise and thank the Father for such a wonderful time at the conference, that all of the saints were able to come.